This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is The Good Life. Food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Well, good day. Happy Saturday to you. I hope you had a great week. And more importantly, I hope the weekend is filled with food and wine and fun. This program is going to be, it's my favorite type of program because it highlights someone, a family doing great local work that has great significance when we talk about food and wine. George Eldersley is with me today in studio, and we're going to talk about George Elder, not Eldersley. I'm not the first one that has done that. George Elder, who him and wife Catherine run Eldersley Farm. You've heard about it before. If you haven't, you're out where the buses don't run. You should. Probably the coolest farm-to-table, intimate, small venue, fine dining in all of Kansas, and it's just right north of Wichita. George, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on, Guy.
You know, we need to go back. I know you've been on the program a while back, and there's been so many changes, but before we get into all the new and excitement going on, let's talk about that chunk of beautiful property and the beginning days.
Sure. So my mom's side of the family has been in central Kansas really since the turn of the century, around early 1900s. And my dad's side of the family is from the southeast. And when they were married and finally made it back to Wichita, my dad had to have a piece of ground with some great topography, which is hard to find in Kansas. Yeah. And they eventually found a place right on the edge of the West Fork of the Chisholm Creek that has a beautiful rolling hill that runs down to a spring-fed creek and a network of ponds in the little Sunnydale community north of Wichita, about 12 miles, and bought the property with a house and just began turning it into a home where they raised 8 children, and that's where I grew up and where the restaurant is now.
Wow. It is. It must have been. What year was that?
That would have been ballpark. 84, I believe, that they bought the piece of property.
Yeah. So it wasn't that long ago in the big scheme of things, but it was more out in the country, if you will, than it is today.
It was, yeah. The boundaries are shifting bit by bit. We feel more and more suburban, but there's still a beautiful section of different farm ground. A lot of leguminous hay is grown right around us, and a lot of native bluestem. The fields right around us are just spectacular all year because of that.
It's how many acres are involved in the whole layout?
So we're made up of a couple parcels that come up just about just above 100 acres, which is why since we started looking at this as a business, we were focused on specialty crops or dense crops because there was no need to even consider conventional crop production on that kind of scale. But on that kind of scale, you can do a whole lot if you're interested in specialty crops and dense crop production.
And this happened while you were a kid. You know, you're still a kid, okay, because I'm old. But you were old enough to be a part of this and to watch and help. And what were the first things that we planted?
So my dad is a herdsman since after his years in college. He went to Australia and spent time working sheep stations and cattle stations in Australia. Brought that love back to the States with him, and after their marriage, he always kept animals, but it was always an avocation for him. We grew up around animals and around interest in farming. But it wasn't until after college that we turned it into a business. He invited me to consider the parcels of land that he owned and talk about what opportunities there'd be for those in a commercial way. And so we started to look at specialty agriculture as a way to take that passion for land and for agriculture and turn it into a business so that it could be a primary vocation.
It's an interesting concept, and there's a lot of high value, don't take up a lot of space crops that I think you could put in. When did berries come along?
Yeah, so after college, we started looking really intensively at opportunities, and I traveled around the state and visited as many orchards, fruit-producing farms, vegetable-producing farms as I could. Also looking at some of the animal-producing farms or dairies and different things like that. And a lot of people were doing apples, some people were doing peaches, but I ran into a few people doing just little sections, little rows of blackberries, and it piqued my interest. They'd mention them like they were a curiosity, and when they happened, they were really fun. But they never kept more than a row or two, a couple hundred feet of them. And then from there, I started investigating larger blackberry farms in the upper Midwest, and actually revisited a contact from college that runs a very large direct market fruit farm in York, South Carolina, and looked at their operation and looked at large operations outside St. Louis, outside of Indianapolis, and got an idea that this little crop that was put in a couple rows here and there on a lot of farms in Kansas had the potential to be a real core for specialty agriculture that we were looking for.
I think it's so cool. There has to be a lot of involvement in the prep before you put the first plants in the ground. Was the soil more than adequate? And how does our climatology fit into growing blackberries?
So, like most young business owners, I was more excitement than preparation. And the first planting we put in was in 8 different varieties on a hillside with 4 different soil types. I prepared the year before and got to watch those plants suffer my brashness or my impatience.
Youthful
for a couple
exuberance.
Years. Yeah. But I didn't give up on them. Those plants eventually were all taken out after a couple of years because we found they were unproductive. But those taught me and pushed me really hard into the technicals of bramble culture. I spent a lot of time traveling and digging really deep into bramble culture throughout the country and began preparing our largest field on a property called Longfield. We prepared that plot for 2 years, carefully amending the soil, adjusting the pH, and cover cropping, as well as grading to get it completely ready. And that planting, when it went in 2014, actually at 1 year old, gave us a half crop of what a mature bramble could do, and just ran like a horse out of the gate ever since we've put it in. And it is an aggressive and awesome planting that anchors our blackberries.
I think that's so cool. And, you know, you're not the first one who had agricultural exuberance and, you know, so really what it was is you were experimenting with what plant material type would grow best, what type of berry, what the soils would do, and irrigation, and yeah, that's but what a challenge. And have you and Catherine met yet?
No, actually, we didn't meet. I mean, we knew one another family-wise. We grew up in similar environments and saw one another church and social functions. But by the time we were in middle school, Catherine and I were on really different tracks. I was headed to pursue as many ringneck pheasants and mallard ducks as I could find in the state. And Catherine was headed into theater and chemistry and was performing from a young age. Performing and interested in the technicals of chemistry, and really delving into both those worlds. And by the time we were in college, we really didn't talk or keep up with one another. But after college, when I came back, it took a couple of years, but I started looking around and I noticed that there was this attractive young woman who I knew their family. And we eventually started kind of keeping an eye on one another. So it progressed, but that was after the Blackberries were in and going.
I think stuff happens for a reason. You can call it fate, whatever you want to call it, divine intervention. It doesn't matter how you name it, but stuff happens for a reason. And you guys probably needed that time to go your own ways, sort of, as it were. And now it's so fun to hear people talk about the farm and what you guys do food-wise, and Catherine with some of her demos, and God, I wish I could be going to Italy in October when she's going. We'll talk about that later. But she has made such an impact on the local food scene, the both of you have, and it's so much more than just farm to table. It's everything, and we'll talk more about service and what you have done to the farm. My goodness, you guys have been busier than I can imagine, and still running this great food service, and it's a lot.
You know, the one of the great adventures of life is marriage, and marriage brings together sometimes very different people. And for Catherine and I, initially she was cute.
Yeah.
She still is, let's be clear. She's a beautiful woman. But as we got to know one another, and then after our marriage, we started talking a lot about different ways that we could work together in life. It became clear that while I came at the farm and agriculture and produce side from an affection for the land and an interest in what it could do and a delight in seeing it perform the task of nurturing and creating blackberries or other things, she came at it from the aspect of the table and the aspect of what an ingredient could do. What could you do with a blackberry to elevate it, to bring out its complexity in all the orbs and all the aspects of it, and render that through culinary art as a delight that communicates with individuals, no matter their background.
Yeah.
I was more isolated and narrow-minded, which is male typical, probably.
Yeah, and you like to hunt, and you like to be outside, and
sure.
But I'm pretty sure even then you like to eat, and now probably even more than ever.
You know, I grew up. I always say I grew up drinking beer and eating sausages.
Perfect.
My family has a German and a Scots background. Both of which are known for more simple culinary traditions in some ways, but very robust and convivial ones. And the Wenzels, Catherine's family, approached the culinary side with much more complexity and delicacy, and I wasn't used to that. It took a little getting used to, but as I have, they've converted me to the pleasures of the table, carefully prepared and slowly enjoyed through an evening or a day or an afternoon, as both a delightful thing and also in the modern world where we all have a lot of stress and we all have a lot of things in our life that agitate us at different points. It's a way to settle down and to quiet your soul and be together as a family or as a couple and to celebrate life. And it's important to do that for all of us. So I've appreciated watching that from a different perspective through Catherine.
And you know, what you just said is so important, and you probably don't even appreciate this. People like to go out to restaurants. And you go to a restaurant, and they're answering, taking your order, getting the food on the table, getting your check, and getting you out so they can set somebody else at the table. And that is so not the way it is at Eldersley Farm. It's so, in fact, that one of the little notes on the website, and folks, if you haven't been to the all-new, very glamorous and informative website, Eldersley Farm, com. You should do that. And I read something about we're happy to have you bring your children, but it's a peaceful extended period of time that most kids can't put up with. I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the idea is we want you to bring them if they're well-behaved and love good food and you want to experience that with your family. But we want you to know fully that it's a quiet, restful place where people are going to be enjoying a great dinner and kids running around probably wouldn't fit.
You know, the great thing that we've tried to create is balance, where in the summertime, our cafe on the patio in the open air offers an opportunity for kids to really just run all over the property and families to enjoy the expansiveness of the country without some of the stress and order of a highly polished, highly ordered dining room. But with our farm to table, we have brought in a formality that is something that is preserved in the dining room through a common agreement between guests and service through the night. And one of the fun things I've gotten to watch are several families who are regulars come with younger kids, and they do work at that slow, patient enjoyment and dialogue at the table over a couple hours with their kids, and they're developing with their children a tradition of the table, and they're nurturing and celebrating that with them. And it does require long chain attention, and it does require a lot of interest in one another that is not always easy for any of us to exercise with younger kids. But yes, we...
Well, you know, and that's certainly at my age, I grew up with that. We had a dinner time every night, be out playing, and you knew as soon as the lights came on the street, man, you better be home because we're within minutes of dinner, and you better go clean up, and you sit there, and you have an eye. And we've lost some of that, and those people that take the time to come to Ellerslie Farm with their kids who are well-behaved and have great parental influence and effect and interest in the table and the food and not their phone or their iPad, profound effect, long-term effect on those kids. And they'll benefit from that in years to come. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with George Elder. I encourage you to go to ElderslieFarm.com. You can look at menu. You know it's seasonal. You know that they have extended hours, or they had extended hours in February, but now that that month's coming to a close, we're into the spring and the amount of great fresh food and product that Catherine will be cooking is going to be amazing. We'll be right back after this short break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.